Hey, you hear that? No, listen. You hear that? That's right, there's nothing. And that's all there'll be when you go looking for intelligent, sensible, rational dialogue on political issues that also have a sense of humor. That's if you don't support FU politics. That's right, you can support this podcast. Go to patreon.com/FUNetworkTV. patreon.com/FUNetworkTV. Subscriptions start at $1 a month, or give us a one-time boost at PayPal. Our address is FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. Otherwise, when you want to hear intelligent discourse about Canadian and international politics, all you're going to hear is this. Yep, dead silence, or a bunch of bozos and pundits yelling at each other. Make the right choice. Subscribe today. I'm at the sock, and I approve this message. If you don't like it, to hell with you. Now, here's your show.
For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. Let's all say on the bus.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Mensplaining. I'm Stephen Kersner, and today we're going to talk about feminism. Oh, I know a bunch of you out there, a bunch of men out there, can feel their testicles immediately shriveling up and traveling upward in their body to hide. I don't really understand the knee-jerk reaction that people, not just men, have to the word, the term feminism. It's obviously linked to what people's perceptions of feminism is. Some people are correct, some people are way off. But first, I'm going to go around the horn and ask our panel what their impression or their understanding of the definition of feminism is. And I'm going to go first to Mo Amir, the celebrated host of at This Is Van Color, or This Is Van Color, the podcast. Welcome back, Mo.
Happy to be back. Thanks for welcoming back with open arms.
Yeah, well, always. So, Mo, feminism, you hear the word, what does it mean to you? What's the first reaction, first thoughts you have?
The first thoughts are that it's quite a loaded term in our culture, and it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people, because you can say, oh, I'm a feminist in terms of what I believe and how I act in my personal life. And then you'll have some people telling you, oh, well, what have you done to advance the cause in terms of activism? And the truth is, you know, most of us are not activists. So when I look at that label or that term, you know, it just means that I believe in equality of opportunity. I believe in social equity. And I do believe in the value of applying a gendered lens to a lot of socio-political or socio-cultural issues in our country. And based on that, I would say, yes, I'm a feminist.
Okay. I didn't ask you if you were. But now we know.
Oh. Okay. I went the next step.
Yes. Yeah. You're anticipating me. Okay. So that's your definition. Aaron Seal, what is your definition of feminism?
So for me, I focus on respecting women's rights. That's what it means for me. I've studied feminism in every direction, first, second, third, intersection, all the waves. And I'm conversant in all of that, but for me it boils down to women's choices and women's rights and advancing women's, not just equality, but women's success. So those are the fundamentals for me.
And people should know that Aaron is a declared candidate for the Conservative Party of Canada leadership, and listen to what he said about feminism. Very supportive.
Yeah, like, obviously can a we very just stop different here for a sec? We have a Conservative Party member and candidate for leadership saying that they understand feminism. Do you think anyone else on that panel up there, well, maybe except maybe if Lisa Raitt runs or something, but has an understanding of feminism?
Like that's another question for another day. What we know is Aaron does.
And I just spat my coffee. That's all I'm saying. Like, wow, a
conservative. Okay.
My personal frustration on this is people just assume that conservatives both don't understand feminism, can't even talk about it, and certainly can't defend it. And part of it is, I would argue conservatives allow that to happen by not proactively taking on the issue. But I also I am frustrated beyond belief with what I perceive to be almost an insurmountable bias in some communities, we won't even get the chance to be heard to offer our side of the story. So I choose to believe that my values are consistent with reasonable definitions of feminism. And I hope that both me and others in my party at least get the chance to show the same.
Okay, that fair enough. Andy Willis, glad to have you with us. Andy, I don't know if it's any different for a gay man versus a straight man as far as filters or lenses that you would look at feminism through. And that's probably something I can apply for a government grant for a study for. Andy, you hear the term feminism. Do you have a knee-jerk reaction? And what does it mean to you? What's the definition or your understanding of the goals of feminism?
So I think the goals of feminism is it doesn't exclude men, although there are spectrums of it that do. And I think that feminism really is the feeling the lacking of specific human rights for kind of a while and seeing that in a lot of different people and just trying to improve on that.
So basically women just trying to get the same shake as men have had.
Women, and then of course in this last wave of feminism, gay men, people of color, for sure. It's been quite inclusive.
Okay. And now our coffee drinking friend Hafiz Noorani, from Vancouver. Hafiz, your knee-jerk reaction, if you have one. Do you have a knee-jerk reaction when you hear, have a gut reaction when you hear feminism?
Look, here's the difference. I understand and I empathize with feminism, but I don't consider it like, so when we have describing terms about ourselves, you know, I usually think of, you know, you have three characteristics that you go to. Feminism is in my top three, maybe in my top 10. But in terms of what I think feminism is, or my definition of feminism, as I understand it, it's the understanding of the shitty hand women have been dealt with for, I don't know, the last two millennia that we've been keeping track of, till about more recent times, and you know the struggle for equality that still continues to this day. You know, needs to make sure that women get paid equally, has the same opportunity in the workplace, and are listened to when they are experts, you know.
Okay. Now, you said that on your list of self-description, you would somewhere on that list include that you are a feminist. Is that right? Did I get that right? Hafiz.
I think I don't know what is ahead of it or below it, but
I'm not asking that. I'm just saying, okay. Would you call yourself a feminist?
I would say I am a feminist to some degree. I think any man that believes that women should be equal in the place of the workplace and life in general is to some degree a feminist, whether they use the term or not. I just don't say that is my identity. Right.
No. Okay. Well, I just wasn't asking that, but thank you. You gave me the answer. Andy Willis, would you call yourself a feminist?
Sure. Let's go there. Yes. Why not?
Okay. Yeah. Bit of hesitation there. What was that?
Well, see, I mean, again, it's like, you know, would you call yourself a conservative, right? Or would you call yourself like a liberal, right? I mean, these are such like tiny little terms that are supposed to describe so much, and they come with such weight. I believe we all benefit from feminism. So like, you know, women being able to vote allowed then people of color to be able to vote. And there's so many examples of how feminism has benefited us. So sure. Am I a feminist? Yes.
Okay. Feminist, are you a feminist?
Did I have a stroke? 100%, baby.
Okay. Aaron, you say that, the conservatives rarely get asked, you know, their opinions on feminism. So I'm asking you, would you as a conservative consider yourself a feminist?
I'd like to be. And I kind of flip the question around and I understand the sort of hesitations of the earlier speakers. Like for me, it's I would like, I'd like to be acknowledged, and I'd like to be seen as a feminist, because I think that the things that I say and the things that I propose are consistent with, as I say, reasonable definitions of feminism. But it, like, anybody can give themselves the label. I kind of think the Eminem song, say I'm whatever people want me to be. Like, I am as unapologetically pro-choice as anybody will ever find. I'm all about promotion of women in senior ranks of the government. So these types of things, like, I can call it, I can call myself a feminist, but I think it's more powerful if others sort of flip the question around, if you understand what I'm saying.
Well, if others define you as a feminist.
But it's those in the community who want politicians to be feminists, who want, like, I think of groups promoting women in parliament and women running for office. Like, I think it's just as powerful to have allies in the community. If I just go out on the steps of a building and say I'm a feminist, I don't know how powerful that is. I'll probably get laughed at. But if others recognize the specifics, if we get into the details, the policies, whether it's on abortion, whether it's on pay equity, on any other issues, intersectional or otherwise, if you get into the details, you acknowledge, yeah, these are consistent with what we're trying to advance in the feminist cause. Those are the details that would matter, I think.
And so, de facto, you're saying that you support feminism,
yes,
but you're not comfortable calling yourself a feminist.
Well, I will call myself a feminist, but what's more frustrating is when others respond, no, I'm not.
Well, okay, that's a different question altogether, yes, and we will get to that, and you're right. Mo Amir,
yes,
are you a feminist?
Yeah, as I said earlier, I would identify as a feminist, sure.
Yeah, okay. And, you know, me, myself, personally, I kind of feel odd identifying as a feminist, because even though I believe in and support the goals of, you know, as Aaron calls it, reasonable feminism, which we'll get to that definition in a minute, I kind of feel odd. I kind of feel that, can men really be feminists? We can be allies, but can we be feminists? It's just the same way I can support the rights of people of color, and anti-bigotry, but that doesn't make me a person of color. Perhaps it's just a personal thing with me, because I absolutely support all of the goals of, the equity goals of feminism. And yet at the same time, I kind of feel odd as a man calling myself a feminist. And I don't know why, even though I support all of it. So, well, all of it being, the differences. There are different kinds of feminism, and this is perhaps where we get into the hesitations and the confusions. There's equity feminists, which are women who want to see, you know, what the title sounds like, equity. They want to see women have the same opportunities as men, same, you know, pay, equal pay for equal work. All of these things, they want their sex, their gender to not be a barrier to anything. They just want fairness. They want the same, they want a level playing field. And I can support that, equity feminists. But then there's another kind amongst the many kinds of feminism called gender feminism. And gender feminists believe the only way to achieve true political and economic equality is to erase all differences between men and women by rigidly socializing boys and girls to be the same. You know, they say that that gender is a construct, and that there are no biological imperatives, and that boys and girls should be raised exactly the same. And that gender feminism starts to go over into the radical end of things, where you start to lose people who are by and large very much in support of everybody being treated equally. My wife Leanna has she's very active in feminism, especially online, and has a term, mosaic feminism, which means that feminism means whatever it means to you as a woman. Every woman expresses their feminism in a different way. You don't have to belong to a specific wave or behave in a certain way or subscribe to a particular set of ideals. That feminism is what it means to you and what you do with it. But I think when people hear feminism, I mean, it is such a hot button word that way back in 2014, Time Magazine included feminist on its annual list of proposed banished words. And after initially receiving the majority of votes, 51%, a Time editor apologized for including the word in the poll and removed it from the results. That's an indication of just how hot button a word it is. And nowadays, it's just like in the United States, where the conservatives, the Republicans, have effectively demonized the word liberal. Liberals suddenly became progressives. Here and other places, we talk now not so much about feminist issues, but about women's issues, because the term feminist conjures up the radical fringe, or what people believe to be the radical fringe of feminists, who don't represent the majority of women. And interestingly, a 2013, I couldn't find a more current one, Huffington Post YouGov poll showed that only 23% of women and 16% of men consider themselves feminists, even though 82% of both genders believe men and women should be social, political, and economic equals, which is the actual dictionary definition of feminism. So even though they believe in those goals, they wouldn't identify themselves as feminists. And there's a lot of young women in the States now who will not identify as feminists, largely because they're enjoying the benefits of the feminists who came before them, who had to fight so that these women can have all these opportunities and say that they don't feel like they're feminists.
I think there's a reason for that, though.
Yes, like, Hafiz.
I think there's been a distancing between the people that are in movements that push these things and everyday people. I think this whole, if you don't do this, then you're not us, has pushed away a lot of people from a lot of different social movements that have in the past had overwhelming support, and I think it's this idea of putting a full identity behind these terms as opposed to having like a overarching value.
Okay, now there's those out there who believe when they hear feminist, they believe these are usually men, but not always. There are a sizable number of traditional women, usually based along religious lines and religious beliefs. But there's a large number of men who believe that the goal of feminists is to feminize men and to outlaw signs of masculinity. Some believe that feminism is about women wanting more rights and protections for women than men have. They feel that women are taking away men's rightful jobs and positions in power and changing traditional societal values, which that last one, good. Why do you think, Aaron, especially as a conservative, you know, I was a conservative once. I attended conservative party events and things like that. I heard comments. So you obviously have heard comments. Why do you think there is such a knee-jerk negative perception amongst those who have a negative perception of feminism? What does it go to? Where does it come from?
The first thing that comes to mind is a lot of men do us no favors when it comes to pushing back on, frankly, in nonsensical ways, in saying foolish things and making us look bad, saying that feminists are this, that, and the other, and frankly, attacking women when they feel where they feel as though they've been in some way harmed. I find that as abhorrent as anything, but the downstream consequence is those foolish people who choose to attack women for like ridiculous reasons like that give the rest of us a bad name. So that's the first.
Okay. Who's coughing there? Someone.
Sorry, I muted myself now.
Yeah, you sounded like you lost a lung. Aaron, can you repeat that last line? Because your last word got coughed over.
Yes, like women, men who attack women do the rest of us no favors and give us a bad name and prevent those of us who want to show solidarity with women who want their rights respected and who want allies in advancing their success. We don't get a chance to speak because those foolish people that say foolish things kind of drown out the rest of us.
Are you sure you're a conservative, Aaron?
Well, I have to get 1,000 memberships by 1,000 member nominations by Thursday, so that'll be the question.
No, that doesn't change where your party affiliation and heart lies. But
on my values, as I say, this is, as I've been saying for months, this is a pivotal moment for conservatives to define where we are. I like to believe that I'm a conservative. We'll find out.
Okay. Andy Willis. Why do you think people who have a bad reaction to the term feminist have that bad reaction?
For the same reason that I get somewhat uncomfortable sometimes when men say that they are feminists, because I'm quite skeptical. It's about equity, right? So I feel like there are men who don't want to lose their equity. So that's why they freak out and trip out about feminism. And also, I think there are feminists who are really radical and do a lot to exclude other people in the discourse, and they don't do themselves any favors. So it kind of goes both ways, but definitely I've experienced like men who say that they are feminists, and it's really in a way to build their own equity, and that disturbs me.
So it's insincere.
Oh, of course. I mean, it's a public display to market themselves, to make themselves look like a champion for women, for gay individual, people in the LGBT community. But then behind the scenes, their policy and their actions clearly demonstrate that they really don't.
Okay.
Do it. Yeah.
That's interesting. That's similar to the last
institutionally, they're not in any way feminist or progressing human rights, but
they just know the right thing to say in the right places.
Exactly. And that's the thing. So what is then feminism? It's being weaponized to build equity for men in some cases. Now, it's not just for men, it's for other people as well, but so it's kind of a weird juggle.
Okay, well, you just said feminism weaponized as a weapon against men. Mo Amir, have you ever seen examples of this?
I think, I want to touch on this idea. You touched on the idea of, there's some feminists that see gender as a construct. And that's a whole debate on its own. But I think we can agree that there are certain gender norms that are a social construct and that have historically existed. And we've seen this in the idea of, Peter McKay slighting the idea of yoga or,
yoga versus hockey. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like effeminizing this one thing and masculinizing this other thing. And we do see this in our culture in terms of, the color pink and makeup and certain other things are for women and girls, and then trucks and danger are for boys. And so the resistance I find from a lot of factions of men, I think, I'm not sure exactly why they're uncomfortable. Maybe they feel like they're dominion or what they feel entitled to is being treaded upon by women, and they very much want to entrench those gender norms that we've historically had about men being the primary breadwinner, women staying at home taking care of the kids, as opposed to perhaps rethinking societal roles and how we view even the upbringing of our children. Just because you have a girl, does that mean that girl may be inherently drawn to things that we see as quote unquote feminine, but do you have to press all those things onto that child and sort of make that impression on them? But this is how you have to behave because you're a girl, as opposed to this is how you should behave if as a person, I mean?
Well, it's interesting. You said that my best friend's daughter, my best friend and his wife, they raised their kids with real, equity. They're not overly like liberal hippie types or anything like that, but they didn't treat the two kids any differently. And they didn't treat the boy and the girl having access to toys, in any way differently. Mm-hmm. But at some point, the younger girl, she gravitated to wanting Barbies. She gravitated to wanting those kinds of fashion dolls. It drove her mother crazy because she does not believe in that and doesn't want that. But she did it, and we figured out that it was because it did differentiate her from her brother, who has all the superhero toys. But what kind of Barbies and things does she play with? She plays with the superhero girl line. So it's similar to what her brother is playing with, but it is still feminine, you know, female characters.
Totally. So and I think even if a child does naturally gravitate towards those historic gender norms, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But then there is sort of that bias or that view of like, oh, why is this girl gravitating towards things that are ungirly? Or why is this boy gravitating towards things that are historically seen as girly? And I think it's not productive to look down on someone for their choices or what they're interested in.
Yeah.
Yoga's pretty gay, so, you know.
this coming from a gay man, yoga gay is gay.
Lord, homo! You're a homo!
So the interesting thing about yoga, though, I mean, there's a certain thing about equity in yoga where, like, all these yoga gurus, like, they predominantly are men as well, right? And yoga's had issues, you know, in the Me Too movement with Bikram as well. Like, it's not... It's not a feminist paradise by any means.
Aaron,
they have their own issues.
Yes, I was Aaron. Hoping you'd ask about this. I've looked Bikram in the eyes. He is an evil, evil man.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, we're talking, of course, about a yogic guru, so to speak, who sexually took advantage of women after women after women.
Yes, but more insidious was the stuff behind the scenes, the mind control tactics, the psychological manipulations. Like Bikram was the first one to introduce mirrors into a yoga studio, and he broadcasted it as being about form. No. It was mind control. He had insecure women looking at their failings and causing them to doubt themselves, which made them more vulnerable to his advances. When you see him behind the scenes, if anyone who's been to any of his events, it's incredibly evil.
Okay, thank you for filling us in on that.
The yoga community, you're absolutely right.
All right, but Andy Willis, of course, will stand by his guns and say yoga is gay. Well, okay, here's the thing, Andy. If yoga is gay and you are gay, do you do yoga?
Well, I do, and I do because I did it to quit smoking or to try to quit smoking, which is funny because I'm having a cigarette right now as we speak.
But, see how well that worked.
I know. Well, I was also reading The Easy Way to Quit Smoking, but hey, enough for another day. What was the question? I mean, is yoga gay?
I think you were just being flippant and we were just having fun.
I was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know what? Hey, that's what feminism afforded me as a gay male, is the ability to be flippant and the ability to kind of be out there in society and be able to talk a lot more about stuff and joke about it before you really kind of couldn't.
You know what? You're absolutely right. So from flippant nonsense comes words of wisdom from Andy. There's everybody here, all of our panelists are, you know, we represent quite an age spread. And some people like Andy and Aaron, who were quite, you know, young compared to me, grew up in a world where the idea of men and women being equal, working women being a reality, not something, not a novelty, not a new thing. The debate over whether women should be staying at home with the kids had pretty much died. The same way that people born in, you know, the early 2000s, the idea of a black president in the United States is no big deal for them because they grew up with one. So this is a difficult question for you guys to answer, I recognize. But, and I'll start with slightly older cohort here of our panel. But Hafiz, do you ever feel
I'm the old cohort?
Well, you're among the elder cohort.
Oh, wow.
You're older than me.
The beard and gray.
A year. Not even. I was born in 84. You were born, what, 85?
Yeah, wow. Yeah, still counts.
You grow a gray beard, and now all of a sudden you're the old wise man. Fine, well, I'll take that.
You just, oh, I said old. I didn't say wise man. do you feel, you know, through your life, have you felt your masculinity in any way shrinking or being redefined or invalidated by women achieving greater levels of interactivity in politics and in all aspects of life, and the push for and achievement of great amounts of success of equality? Do you feel that that has in any way reduced your sense of who you are as a man? Your masculinity has been challenged?
Well, back in my day, you know, coming from the last century and all, I would say that my understanding of being a man and my definition of being a man has come from a mother that, you know, was, look, I come from an Indian society and also a Muslim society. My mother worked full time. My mother is a Catholic, and she went out in the workplace, which was unheard of when we lived in the Middle East, more so understood in India. But I came from a hardworking mom that, you know, climbed the ladder at every place she worked. So I had that go-getter mother that, you know, got that to enjoy the benefits of that first wave of being able to get in the workforce and take what's theirs. And I appreciate the fact that that exists. As being in management myself, I would say that the times that I've had female staff that have been go-getters and have that attitude of being as able as any other guy have actually done better than a lot of my male staff. And it's really funny to watch the ones that the guys that are still a little bit upset by this whole concept of feminism fail, and while bringing those women down.
Well, is it possible that their objection to feminism is the fact that they are not as capable as the women that they have worked against?
They got away with being lazy and just getting by. Meanwhile, there's this woman here that is not just happy being comfortable. She wants to be the best. And I'm sorry, dudes, if you're not willing to compete on this anymore, you're not going to get by as easily as you did before. And rightfully so. We should be picking the best person. And guess what? Very often that person is a woman these days.
Okay. Aaron, do you think that the perception of women who are go-getters, as Hafiz just mentioned, the perception of men who are go-getters is sometimes treated differently in the workplace?
100%. And this goes to the sort of my consulting days before anything to do with politics. Yeah, there's certain behaviors that if men do them, being aggressive, defending one's own interests, self-promotion, we use profanity on this show, right?
Yes.
Like the types of things that, like, there's almost an equality between using the B word for women and being called a prick for men. But being called a prick is more socially acceptable. But if you are seen as bitchy, that will hold back your career. It's those types of sort of yins and yangs that absolutely do exist and that create problems.
Well, I think that men who are called pricks don't necessarily get held back because they produce results. Whereas a woman who's called a bitch but produces results is held back because she's a bitch. Now,
take it one step further. The man can be called a prick and not produce results and still get ahead because he can either joke it off or even celebrate it. Meanwhile, as you say, the woman has to work three times as hard and hope for the best.
And that's because the brand of masculinity, you know, if we can consider masculinity a brand, is to be the envelope includes being abrasive. So yes, you're not violating the brand, you know, brand man by being a prick. Whereas the social messages women have received for generations is smile and be nice. So if you, if a woman does the same thing, the very same thing as a man, it's the very same behaviors, very same language, uses the same sentence, she can be seen as a bitch and a problem. And that, because that violates what we have come to understand as brand woman, which is agreeable. Now, Andy, were you trying to pop in here?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I call men a bitch just as much as I call a woman. And, you know, it's very few and far in between. But I, like, you know, I think women do. I do, like, a lot of my girlfriends, they're like power girls. Like, that's their thing. And they pride themselves when they get called a bitch or a cunt or a witch or whatever, because they're like, no, like, I'm in charge. I'm doing my thing and I'm doing it right and I'm doing it well. And I kind of applaud them for that. So I think women can easily just take that power that's been given to them and use it if they wish to, or if they have the confidence to.
Well, the question is the person above them who determines if they're going to advance a man or a woman?
Well,
and how do they respond to terms like,
yeah,
you know,
here's a good example of that. So my great grandmother, right? I asked her once, I was like, you know, would you consider yourself a feminist? Like, you know, and I broke it down for her. She's quite smart for someone who's 92 and intelligible and, you know, and she said, no. And I said to her, I said, why? And she said, because, you know, when I was out there, you know, working, she worked as a maid for many years. And she said, you know, when I was getting paid nothing or people would find ways not to pay me because I didn't clean properly or whatever it was, she said, there was no women there speaking up for me. She was like, it was never a movement that I ever saw or anything like that in the 50s and 60s in Vancouver. She's like, I just, it wasn't something I was a part of. People weren't thinking of me in that regard. She was like, so I'm not a feminist. She's like, I'm a woman. And she said, when, you know, I would not get paid for proper work, I would say it and I'd quit and I'd move on. And I'd demand for what I wanted. And, you know, her power really kind of, you know, speaks volumes to my worldview and how I see women, is that, you know, if you want something, you got to ask for it. And just same for a man, same for a gay man, same for anyone. If you want something, you got to learn how to say no. And I think some women and men and gay men are too grateful. And that's an issue, is that you're too grateful to take less than what you need. And you got to be a little more ungrateful for jobs and demand a little more.
Well, you know, I can't speak for the stats on gay men, but I do know that I have read stats that indicate that if a man asks for a raise, he is more likely to get it than a woman who is asking for a raise.
You know, yeah. I mean, every group project in school, I've always been the secretary. And, you know, I would always say, like, why? You know, when I'm in a group of men, I'm like, why am I the secretary? You know? So I definitely see myself being feminized in a negative way, in a way that's held me back. Again, when I get angry, I'm not angry. I'm bitchy or sassy. And so I definitely think in volumes, yes, gay men are held back to an extent. And so we use that in a way to somehow improve our condition, improve our lives in some way. So, yeah, okay. I definitely think it happens to us.
Okay. Mo, as somebody close in age to our wise sage, Hafiz, have you noticed over the years, as women have gained greater, you know, achieved greater political office, you know, been more represented in the executive suites of businesses? I don't wish to suggest that they're equally represented, but more so, as the notion of women being our equals, being male equals and deserving the same, has grown, have you felt any threat to your masculinity?
No, none whatsoever, to be completely honest with you. And I think that, you know, when we look at the field of human resources in North America, at least, it's had quite a few positive benefits. The idea of, you know, work-life balance and everything not necessarily just being about your salary, but also about benefits, about flex time. You know, these come from a lot of women thought leaders in that field that have been changing the culture, the corporate culture, in a lot of ways. Now, to speak to some of the things that were said earlier, is there a double standard between men and women? Absolutely. But I also think we have to look a little deeper and look at some hard realities as men. The reality is that, you know, most crimes, particularly violent crimes, murder, rape, assault, they're committed by men. The reality is that despite women outnumbering men in this country, men are far more likely to be in positions of power, both in the corporate world and in governance. And obviously, as you said, we are pointed in the right direction. Things are getting better, but these are still realities. One thing I see in the corporate world that still exists when I go to, for my day job, when I go to conferences or trade shows, is that it's still, even though there have been gains in terms of looking at work-life balance and that type of thing, there are, it's still a very male-dominated world. And when we look at the Me Too movement, that encompasses a spectrum of predominantly, I'm going to say, a toxic male behavior. And I've seen it personally. I've seen men who will say things and do things to women because they are in a position of power and that they can get away with it. And so a prime example is when you have a bunch of guys hitting on a waitress. And I'm not talking about being friendly or chatting it up with a waitress. I'm talking about like overstepping a line and effectively sexually harassing a waitress. That is still a common thing. And the only reason those men do that is because they know that that waitress is on the job and she's paid to be nice to them. Would they act in the same way to someone in a nightclub who could potentially slap them in the face? Maybe not. Would they act that way with a superior in a work environment? Definitely not. And I don't know. I think it's men have, again, they've had this sort of free dominion to get away with a lot of bullshit. And I think some feel very threatened. And those are the only voices that that seem to be threatened by women gaining more prominence in the culture, in the workplace, and in positions of power.
Okay, that's very interesting. And there's no problem with using the term toxic masculinity, because adding the word toxic means that it's not that masculinity
the norm.
Is toxic on its face. And of course, the structures that we have now, where there's more men in positions of power and so on, we're talking about a system that is going to take time to fix itself. And studies show that people tend to hire people who are most like them. And so if it's a man who's hiring, subconsciously, he may hire a man, depending on what he thinks, what qualities he thinks are most important in himself that he sees in the other, the other person. But it's interesting thing is that in the time that I was in television broadcasting, I saw it go from a field where the top positions were almost exclusively men to now when I go to talk to broadcasters and so on, I deal with far more women in very, mm-hmm. very senior positions. So, that has been a change in my lifetime, and nobody's complaining that the person is a woman. Usually they complain about them for the same reasons everyone complains about a boss.
Sure. But Stephen, can I just interject for a second?
Yes.
It is great to see more diversity on your television, but we still do have a culture where women are far more greatly judged on their appearance being on television than any man. I mean, certainly men are, but I think when you look at the reporters and the broadcasters that I've talked to, ones that are women, they all have that complaint that every day or every week they receive complaints about how they look on television. And that's simply just not true about men. So certainly you're right. And it's a great thing that we have more diversity on television, but the culture is still quite sexist in terms of how we view men and women.
Well, I want to differentiate, Mo. I was talking about people behind the scenes,
as opposed
to in front of the camera. And I will tell you that in my experience, the greatest majority of complaints you get about a woman's appearance on camera comes from other women, not from men.
100%. 100%.
And that's because, society set women at each other's throats because they said, "Oh, there's limited number of opportunities," and so they had to fight tooth and nail, and hopefully that will eventually dissipate. But that is still a reality. I wonder, Aaron Seal, do you think that the redefinition of gender roles, which feminism has brought forward in creating workplaces where there are more, women in positions of power, do you think that just the idea of gender norms being set aside has helped define your masculinity in a different way? It has helped you define who you are in a different way and taken some pressures off of you as far as the male performance that when I was growing up, guys had to walk the line and perform a certain way.
Well, I think you've asked two questions there, Jerry. Has it changed me and does it take the pressure off? Does it take the pressure off? Absolutely not. The pressure is still there. It's just different norms that we all, men, women, have to comply with. But I think the more interesting part is, has it changed me? And the answer there is 100%. One of the things is, one of my frustrations with the world as I look back on the first half of my life, as I phrase it, my first 36 years, hopefully, is we don't teach men how to be men. Like the social norms, whether in the business place, whether it be at the bar or anywhere else. Like I think about Aaron Weir, who's a prominent story on Parliament Hill, somebody I'd known for 20 years because we went to Queens together. He had a falling out with the NDP, was accused. I don't remember exactly how it was phrased, but it was openly acknowledged that the backstory was entirely one of social awkwardness, of missed cues, of suggestions that he didn't pick up on things, but didn't leave the party fast enough, or however the exact details were. And I think about this, having known him 20 years ago when we were both university students, we're both kind of socially awkward. And I can only imagine the type of situation that would have led to it. And he was all in the media saying he wants to apologize, he wants to make well, but he was just told no and kicked out of the party. So I feel for stories like that. So the question in my mind is, has it changed me, my perceptions, the world? Like my line with anybody who I look back on my past and we start micromanaging, was that an awkward moment? Was that? So I just say, I'm willing to make peace with anybody who'd like to make peace with me. But going forward, I absolutely am more aware of those details. And I am more inviting of comment to say, if I'm doing something wrong, please tell me because I'd like to know.
Okay. And you know, there are people out there who'll listen to this and say, hey, Kersner, aren't you the guy behind Ed the Sock and Ed and Red's Night Party, the show that had go-go dancers and women in hot tubs who would take their tops off and so on? And how can you be saying that you support feminism? And I get that from a certain sector of feminists. And what they're missing there is that they've lost the plot, because all of those women who were our go-go dancers were they wore those same outfits to go dancing socially in their private time the next day after the taping, you know, on their own. We weren't asking them to do anything or dress in a way that they wouldn't dress or be comfortable with. They were all named and could talk at any time. They all had mics. They could talk at any time and interact. They were never prohibited from doing so. The women in the hot tub were never given any instruction as to what to do. It's like, go ahead, that's your domain. You got, and they would plot out their own little stories. And if they chose to take their tops off, mostly because they knew that it would take these macho guys who were in the tub and just make them. When a man faces a woman's sexual power like that, men are afraid, and they loved owning them. And the idea that, you know, women who made those choices somehow are feeble-minded or have internalized misogyny is missing the point. Feminism is supposed to allow women to choose how to dress, to choose how to present themselves, to choose which jobs they take. And for women to be saying that a show which made women, you know, allowed them to maintain their character and their personality and honestly who they were and to have fun and to control what they said or didn't say and so on, allowed them to have those choices. They had fun. They enjoyed themselves probably more than anybody else on the show. They enjoyed themselves. And that to me is feminism. It was an opportunity for women who wanted to make those choices to make those choices and have a good time. So how is that contrary to feminism? I would think that being contrary to feminism is people criticizing these women for choosing to go on in go-go dancer outfits and for taking their tops off if they chose, which is legal in Ontario. I would think that aligns feminists who say that aligns them with what they would call the patriarchy, which has for generations told women what they could and couldn't wear and labeled them if they didn't behave. So, you know, that's my answer to those who were thinking that throughout this recording. So generally, if I could sum it all up, we're all cucks, according to according to guys who might be listening to this who have a problem with women. And usually those guys are, you know, there are some men out there, young men, who have legitimate grievances in that there are less opportunities for them than previous generations. There may be less opportunities for them to meet women. They may not be particularly personable, but they need to blame somebody for their circumstances. And rather than looking at themselves, which is difficult, and saying, here's where I need to improve myself, it's a lot easier to just blame women and say that women are conspiring against them, when the fact is women, for these men, women don't give a shit because you haven't really put yourself forward in a way that makes them want to interact with you. And them having jobs and you not having a job, it's not because a woman took your job, it's because you don't have the qualifications for the job in particular, or you haven't been persistent enough. It's easier to blame others than it is to look at ourselves and say, what can we be doing better to better our circumstances? So as many people who on Twitter saw the thumbnail for this show about men talking about feminism and assumed that it was going to be all negative, you are once again wrong. because I find that in the workplace, and I'll make this the last question. My experience in the workplace has always been that men don't really care if they're working with a woman or a man. They care about whether that person's good at their job and getting the work done, or putting more of the workload on them. It's strictly job and performance based. They don't care if they're men or women. I've seen greater competitiveness and enmity between women working in workplaces I've been at than there is between men and women working at workplaces I've had. Hafiz, what's your experience been?
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Hafiz, what are you, Andy now?
Yeah, I was yelling at this. I was on Twitter, and Marcus Henry Weber says that I'm a racist and whatnot. So I was getting into that. Sorry, I lost track of feminism. I don't really pay attention to it much.
Oh my God.
What the hell's the matter with you? You're the producer of the show, and you're not even paying attention while we're talking.
It was like this, that. We're going around in circles.
Okay, I'm muting you. Aaron Seal, let's pass it on to you.
I do have an answer to this question. I was listening to you, sir. Okay. I'll start with maybe a 30-second vignette for women who are watching. And I'm sure there's a parallel here. For men, if you want to hear men's true colors, just sit in a bathroom stall for a while and listen to them at the urinal. Because I think usually, for most men, absolutely, as you say, is it about the work? Is it about treating people honestly? Treating people well, regardless of gender, for sure. But you don't make the mistake. There are some out there who do actually hold prejudices against women and who don't want them in higher levels of authority. I have heard this firsthand in political environments. I know it does exist. I know that more men don't do this, but there is a dark underbelly and it has to be acknowledged.
Okay. And the truth is also, though, that sometimes when men make comments like you're referring to, it's male performance. It's them thinking that this is what they have to say and express to the other person, so the other male, so that the other male acknowledges him as an equal male.
But I will just say, I have directly had a supervisor who believed that I was on his side say, I don't like working with women and this is why.
Interesting. Okay. Andy Willis, do you remember the question?
I damn well do. Honey, okay. I'm here. I'm here and I'm present.
Okay.
I prefer working. If I had to like say who I prefer to work with, not that that was what the question was about, but we're close. I would say I like working with women. They kind of get my nuance. They get my shit. They get my humor. You know, they can call me a bitch or a big drag when I am being, and, you know, we can kind of call each other out and stuff and have lunch. So I like that. I mean, to be honest. And then I get to go home and have sex with a really awesome surfer who's just like chilling out and smoking weed. So, yeah, I mean, I prefer working with women. I feel safer sometimes around women. Yeah.
Andy, I like women. Andy, where did this surfer fellow just show up from?
I've been canoodling lately. I picked up someone pretty fun. Let's just say that.
Whoa, this is news. We got to tell us more.
Congratulations.
he's not here right now, but he was here last night. So,
well, congratulations, Andy. I know. You've been single for so long, much the whole length of this series, and now it seems like you got someone in your life. Good for you.
Yeah, he's half Jewish. I wish he was a little more, but he's not. So whatever, he's half of a failure.
And, which half?
Jewish half, best half, let me tell you.
Yeah, but which half? The top half or the bottom half?
The bottom and the top half. He has a very beautiful nose. I love a nice, slender, long nose. He has nice.
But you can usually tell if somebody's half Jewish, a half Jewish male. Waist down, there's an indication.
there's a big indication, but so things are good. I do like working with women. I think women are a lot of fun. They're kicking the ass. They work really hard. They are really great at organizing and getting people organized and together. Why? Because like mom's trying to get kids into a van, you know, at 5, 6, 7 o'clock, race people around. They're really good organizers. So I like them.
Well, that's again, a sort of stereotyping of women. I've known women who were so scattered, it's unbelievable. Almost as scattered as me. And I've known men that have been very organized too. But the difference is women don't succumb to the big dick contests that men do, which often takes up an awful lot of meeting time. And is almost like it's a ritual. It's not a mating ritual, but it's a masculinity ritual. And women don't buy into that. They want to just get the job done. Whereas guys are all about
I think that's a generalization. I don't know. I've seen women in the sales world get into big dick measuring contests. And I've seen women that compete against other women in the same way men compete against men. So, okay. Yeah, I'll throw that out there.
Okay.
And they rightly should. You know what? It's 2020. Women can have big dicks too.
You're absolutely right.
Come out swinging, ladies. Come out swinging.
And final comment from Mo?
Well, unlike Aaron, I actually don't talk at the urinal. People who talk at the urinal are weirdos to me. It's not
You're not supposed to talk at the urinal. No.
I mean, I'll just close out by saying, you know, I think there are double standards in our culture, and a sexist comment is a sexist comment, no matter who it comes from. And it's often reflective of the culture, which I think we have to admit, you know, has favored men and a male point of view in many areas of life. And I think ultimately this discussion, I think we all kind of agree, is about choice and freedom and equity. And those are things that women have not been afforded historically. I think we are pointed in the right direction. I think we are progressing in that area. And I think as men, in very general terms, we have to look at things from a more empathetic point of view and understand the challenges that women face in the workplace, in the household, and just being women in this country.
Okay, let me ask you, empathetic, something that is usually associated with women, with being effeminate. It's now being more and more accepted that men can be, you know, can demonstrate empathy. Men always felt empathy, but it wasn't manly to demonstrate it. Do you feel that the impact of having women out there and treasuring and valuing the notion of empathy has made it easier for men who in the past didn't feel comfortable showing their empathy to in fact show their empathy?
I think it has been a benefit to men. I think for so long we have valued the strong silent type and someone who's not willing to be open with how they're feeling, and you see this come out in very dark ways in terms of mental health issues. I mean, men suffer from their suicide rates are much higher in the general population as well. Yeah, exactly.
Men over 50 is the highest suicide group.
Exactly. So I think when you create a culture of empathy and an openness for people to express their perspectives and how they feel, you're only going to get good things out of that. And we need to encourage men to not only be open with how they're feeling, but then also express and apply empathy to people around them. And I think that's a great characteristic of any type of leadership as well. If you are going to lead people in the workplace, in governance, in whatever field you might be in, you have to be empathetic to everyone in that group.
Okay, good point. Good point. And I will say that, you know, the top of the show, one of the panelists mentioned that male things are like going out, roughing it and camping. I have never liked it. I have, I've been a male my entire life, a cisgendered male. I have never liked camping. I have never liked anything beyond a walk in the outdoors. I don't watch sports on television. I rarely play sports. And
I think there's an episode here. Yeah, masculine and, things you hate.
Yeah, that could be. Also, the changing of gender role stereotypes. Because in my house, when something needs to be fixed, my wife fixes it. And I step back because I know she knows how to do it better than I do.
And you're the guy with the cats.
Yes, and I'm the guy with the cats. That's right. I am the crazy cat man. Okay, I want to thank everybody. Mo Amir, who hosts a terrific and well-deserved critically acclaimed podcast called This is Van Color, available wherever podcasts are available. I want to thank you for joining us, and welcome back. It's been a little while, but hope to see you again very soon.
Always a pleasure. I'll be back for sure.
Okay, thank you. Aaron Seal is at this moment scrambling very hard to get the signatures he needs of like-minded, reasonable conservatives to support him in his bid for the candidacy or for the leadership of the Conservative Party of Canada. He is a conservative, but the kind of conservative that I think 2/3 of Canada would be much more comfortable with, which is a more of a fiscal conservative and less of a social conservative. Aaron, we wish you luck with that. And you know, if it's not this time, you're 36, you got plenty of road ahead of you.
Well, I did this in reverse. I had the policy platform first, but nobody knows who I am. So we'll see if it works. But yes, I'm going to keep telling my story.
Okay. Well, we wish you luck. Thank you. Andy Willis, host of Andyland Radio. And where can people find that online?
You can feel smarter and happier every Wednesday, 10:30 Pacific, 12:30 Central on CITR 101.9 FM if you're in Vancouver, or stream live on andylandradio.com.
Okay. And I waited till the end for you, Hafiz, to give you the chance to, you know, stop fighting with people on Twitter and pay attention to what the hell we're talking about here. I think you may have a problem, Hafiz. Hafiz, I think you may have a problem. I think you need to close Twitter.
Yeah.
I think you need to spend certain hours of the day with Twitter closed. But Hafiz Noorani is a digital marketing consultant and analyst. And I've seen some of his work. He's done some work for us here with the FU Network, in addition to being the producer of this show. And if you need somebody to do digital consulting or analysis, Hafiz is your guy. And he can be found on Twitter at Feezy Does It. Mo is at This Is Van Color. And Color is
Van Color.
Yeah. Just at Van Color?
On Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, at Van Color. Color spelled the Canadian way, correct? With the U?
Of course.
Yes, of course.
There's a U in color.
And Aaron Seal, where can people find you on social media?
MillennialConservative.ca.
MillennialConservative.ca. Okay. And Andy is Andyland at Andyland Radio?
You bet. For better or for worse, come check me out.
Okay. Well, good luck with your surfer, dude. I have this image of this guy on a couch wearing these board shorts with the surfboard sitting next to him.
He looks like, you know what? He looks exactly like Spicoli, and his name is Mac. So, you know.
Yeah. I just have this image of Andy sitting next to this guy who would have washed up on Gilligan's Island or something like that. which is beyond Andy's frame of reference.
He likes curling, which is kind of a red flag, so I might have to get out of this relationship.
Or you could learn to try to share some of his likes.
Well, yeah, I don't know. He really knows how to toss the bowling ball, though, so you know, I'm okay with that.
I don't know if that's a euphemism or not, but I'm not going to pursue it any further.
Yeah, okay. Let's not.
This has been Mensplaining, men talking to men about being men in 2020 in a rapidly changing world, how we can be better men and how we can help build a better world. I'm Stephen Kersner. You've been listening to the show on FU Politics, a channel of Fun, the FU Network. And if you want to help us out and keep us going with this, there's been some activity, good activity, steady activity on Patreon. People who value this show and want to see it continue. Patreon is a subscription service. You can starts at $1 a month, and you can go $5, $10, whatever. Have one less coffee per month. You know, get ripped off by a coffee place once less per month, and give us that $5, whatever. You can do that by going to patreon.com. Patreon is with an E, patreon.com/FU Network TV. Or if you want to give a one-time donation, which is appreciated. And that's been coming in fairly good too. I really do appreciate when you guys out there and girls out there appreciate what we're doing enough to throw in a few dollars to help keep it going. I appreciate it. And PayPal, you address it to our address, funetworktv@gmail.com. And that's it for Andy, Aaron, Hafiz, and Mo. I'm Stephen Kersner, and thank you for listening.
For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, let's all say all of us.
This is Fun, the FU Network.